Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 183, recorded on Father's Day, June 17th, 2018. We are here with one of our regular hosts and, of course, our always vigilant fill-in host, Eric. Eric, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
And Lizzie, how are you?
I'm here.
No, she's taking on the role of Eric, Tim tonight.
See, Lizzie,
I'm here.
I know. I was at least polite enough to lie about it. See,
that's I'm not into that.
You guys don't want to bring the show down this fast, do you?
I'm doing just okay and fine.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with doing just okay.
Yeah, we're good. We're here. Absolutely. We're hanging in.
Nothing wrong with that. Asked me for, you know, a yes or no, and I say sure. I tell her sure
is an affirmative response. Over here. And, it's all good.
It's good.
Yeah, it is.
She's glaring at me now off side of the computer here, but that's okay.
You are so in trouble.
I know. So, yeah, so the voice you don't hear is Tim. Tim has got one more week of gallivanting around the globe. I think he's been in one bar drinking beer the whole time in Germany, but, you know, who knows?
Probably.
What have we been doing in the last week or so? I've actually started watching some new stuff. I started watching Cloak and Dagger. The first two-parter. And it seems, you know, it's on, what network did ABC call that now? That
Freeform.
You see something else, not Freeform. It's very Freeform-ish. I mean, it's...
Now, see, I haven't seen enough on Freeform to know what Freeform-ish is. I assume it's kind of CW-ish.
Yeah, it's very
like
CW-ish.
It's like CW times ABC Family.
Exactly. Oh, wow, is it that? Most of the first half of the two-parter. I'm like 75% of the way through it.
It's not bad, but it's just mixed in with much of that teen angsty type, you know, stuff going on.
My favorite.
It's definitely geared towards a younger audience. But
yeah, that is definitely the target. But I mean, even then, it does so in a way that is more mature than some other things I've seen and a little bit less soap opera-ish. I mean, you still get a little bit of that in there, but it's nothing like, I mean, I haven't watched Riverdale, but I mean, just based on the commercials for it, I just roll my eyes every time I see a commercial. There are some things that are a little more over the top than this. This seemed a little more grounded, I think, than some of the competition. And it had, I think, the highest premiere of anything on Freeform ever.
Oh, really? Okay. That's good. It's not a bad show. It's nice. I mean, I don't know much about the Cloak and Dagger storyline, besides just kind of what you read, just the blurb. But it's pretty good. I think it's developing at least pretty well for the first two-hour premiere that they had two episodes out of.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. And I got to see Incredibles 2 this weekend.
Did you?
Yay!
Which I loved. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. It's so good. It was so worth a 14-year wait.
You know, I didn't realize it was that long. They had a little blurb before it where they had Samuel L. Jackson and a couple of the other cast members talking about how, you know, it takes time to write these things. They got to do the drawing and go through this whole big thing. And I know it's been 14 years, but it'll be worth the wait, you know. And it was.
It was.
It really was. I was happy that it wasn't a Pixar movie that had a heavy-handed theme at the end of it, you know, trying to tell you how to live your life. There really wasn't. It was just fun.
Right.
There was no, you know, overarching moral to the story at the end.
Yeah, it's just like such a fun ride. I loved the new character Void, who's played by Sophia Bush. She's one of my favorite actresses off screen. Like, she does a lot of social justice work, and it's just a really like strong voice for sort of like different communities that don't have one. She just really takes up the call on Instagram and Twitter, and I love her so much. She was on One Tree Hill, which is the CW, but I love her. And she was on Chicago PD or whatever, one of those Chicago shows. There's like a million of those.
They all run together, yeah.
She was on the first one, although she's not in it anymore, but she plays the character of Void. And then I really loved Jack-Jack, who was funny.
He stole the movie. He was just amazing. And then, you know, the reaction to, and they actually had that in the trailer, but the reaction that Samuel L. Jackson's character, Frozone, had to what the baby could do was just perfect Samuel L. Jackson.
Like, so
what
good.
The? Whoa.
It didn't feel like a normal, like, second movie where it's like, a little, you're like, this again. You know, it was very fresh and so, like, lots of new things going on, new people, and just new, I don't know, it was just felt very fresh, which is nice.
It didn't. I think it was partly because they had all the new characters because of the you know, the other superheroes they brought in that were kind of seemed like a really odd mix of characters, but then also the family too. Now they were out as superheroes and they were doing their thing where they really didn't get a chance to do anything in the first movie.
Well, and also with a 14-year gap, you sort of like, unless you're watching it because it's your very, very favorite Pixar movie on the reg, you know, like you may have like forgotten a lot of what goes on in the first one and even rewatching it right before. It's just with such a gap, it lends itself to it. Now, what they're doing at Disney right now is they're having an Incredibles Expo at Magic Kingdom. And they have a lot of the characters out having a dance party. You can take selfies with Frozone, Edna Mode, Elastigirl, Mr. Incredible. But they also did this really cool thing where they had cast members dress up as Void and the Hawk Owl looking one and the Brick one.
Screech and Brick,
And be like fan cosplayers. So they're not the characters. They're just cosplaying as the characters, but they're official Disney staff. And so they're walking around and you can take pictures with them. So they had a Void cosplayer and that was a really cool element of it. So they have like some themed food and I just posted a picture on Instagram. They have like edited CGI characters into some of the photos. So I have a picture with Jack where I'm like surprised that he's in my picture. So they're having a whole Incredibles Expo for the summer. Cool. So it's pretty fun. So I had to go see the movie too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eric, I definitely recommend seeing it because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's really funny.
Lizzie, what else have you been watching?
More Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman because I am deep in the Dr. Quinn Medicine hole and it's wonderful and I love it and it's bringing me lots and lots of joy. Good. I also finally watched Coco for the first time today and I'm still a little teary because it was so beautiful and wonderful and emotional. But I have not watched it because I knew I was going to cry. And the two opportunities I had to watch it were on a plane recently. And I was like, well, that's just what you want is to be like bawling on a plane next to some poor guy.
That's tough.
Like, So I did not watch it on the plane. I watched it today. And then the other movie I watched was horrible, horrible. And it's called Trafficked. And it's terrifying and like a real portrayal of women getting trafficked. And it's horrible.
Really?
It's horrible, Lou.
When did this come out?
And Ashley Judd does the trafficking.
She's the trafficker?
Yeah. She's the one who traffics three of the girls.
Wow.
It's horrifying and so sad. And trafficking is one of the issues that's most like that really like rips at my heart that we are living in an age of modern slavery like none other. We have the most representation of slavery in our entire like in the history of the world. There's more slaves now than there ever have been. And so I was like, I really want to watch this movie. I want to like be pulled at by this issue. But it was just so like viscerally hard to watch. So I don't know that I would recommend it or anything.
I don't think I ever heard about this movie. So it was 2017. It came out in October. So Ashley Judd, Ann Archer.
It's rough.
Yeah, wow.
It's incredibly rough.
Those kind of movies are important to see, though, sometimes. I mean, even if it is rough to watch,
it's one of those that's not going to become your favorite. Yeah. Yeah. It's rough. It won't be your favorite movie or anything. It shouldn't be.
So if you want a feel-good movie, go see Incredibles 2. If you're looking for something to bring you down a little bit and ground you, it's Trafficked.
Yeah, there you go. Dear God.
Eric, what have you been up to watching-wise?
Well, mostly been editing podcasts. I've been rewatching The Office, mainly in the background as I'm doing other stuff. And I've kind of gotten to the point now where we're in the kind of crappy seasons near the end. So, caught up on Arrested Development. Not sure how I feel about the end of this season. Yeah, I kind of feel like it didn't have an ending. Like I double checked twice to see where the next episode was. Well, I know. But it wasn't a cliffhanger, but it wasn't really like an ending either. I felt like I was just missing an episode or something. It was good. I mean, I liked what I saw, but
it's also strange that they split the season up because they've never done anything like that before. And it doesn't make sense for the structure of their show. I don't know. So that's your feeling is valid. Because it's weird.
Archer, I know Tim's a big fan of Archer, and I used to be, but these last two seasons, I think, have just been worthless. So I'm keeping up with them, but I don't know if I'm going to keep keeping up with them. I watched Annihilation last night.
Well, how was that?
Was it good?
It was good, but I understand why it didn't do that well.
Okay.
I have the book. I have the audiobook. I haven't read it yet. It's part of a trilogy, the Southern Reach trilogy, I think it's called. And it's really good, but it's heady. It's like a Darren Aronofsky movie when he's not high. Does that make sense? Do you even know who Darren Aronofsky is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like it. Yeah, that, I mean, that's a good way to explain it. It was it was out there a little bit, but the main characters always kind of kept you grounded. The nature of the premise of the story was supposed to be that they're going into this territory where nothing kind of makes sense. So it was actually part of the story for it to be a little bit weird and out there. But then the tone of the movie was different enough from the tone of the books. And the point of the movie was different from the point of the books. And I think a lot of people might not really understand the ending is what it boils down to. Okay. That being said, I thought it was really good.
Now, do you know if they're making the other two books into a movie as well? Or did this movie do not well enough that they're not going to do that?
I wonder if they're probably not going to do that. Now, I don't know that much about the second book. I know it focuses on a different protagonist. So like these characters' stories are done, even though the overall story continues on. But the movie was very much a character story, whereas the book, my understanding is you don't even really get all that attached to the character so much. It's more about the plot.
I read the audiobook last year.
Yeah. Oh, you did? Okay.
It was a little hard to follow as an audiobook. I'm not sure if it was just because it was audiobook and your attention split or not, but it was a little bit weird. I think it's supposed to be, but I was looking for more definition of what was going on, what Area X was, what the whole
You would appreciate the movie. There is a reveal in the movie that gives you just enough understanding of what's going on that the book trilogy apparently doesn't reveal until the third book.
Okay.
I'm a little confused as to why.
The movie, or if I want to read the other two books first, because I haven't done the other two books yet.
I would say see the movie, because to me, this reveal, there's no way it could really break anything in the books.
Okay.
Like, I don't see it being a spoiler necessarily. I think it was more of kind of like with The Expanse, Ava Sorella doesn't appear at all in the first book, but in the TV series, she's like in one of the first few scenes. I kind of feel like it's more like they should have just put this in the first book to begin with, because it doesn't break anything about the story. It actually makes it easier to understand. I would say see the movie. I don't think they're probably going to do more movies, though.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
Then that's all I've got.
Okay. So late week for all of us in terms of catching up on stuff, but yeah, good.
Yeah.
To be fair, I've watched a lot of episodes of Dr. Quinn, if that makes up for it. like three
so
seasons.
It's quantity
worth.
Over quality. Is that what you're saying, Lizzie?
No, it's a very quality show. Okay.
I've kind of put a lot of other stuff in my DVR, but nothing that's really that interesting. So, although
I've been doing non TV, non movie stuff this week.
Okay, yeah, no, I did finish the season for Arrow, and I did finish the season for Supergirl. So at least I'm caught up on those now.
I'm working on Supergirl right now, and tonight, in fact, I started again. Arrow was. Arrow had a lot of really good moments and a lot of mediocre moments.
Rough note. I'm like, oh, okay. That's where you're going to leave me? Okay, thanks.
Well, it's a good cliffhanger.
I'm so behind on the DC TV verse. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it doesn't, you know, I've got a bunch of them stacked up that I've been watching. I finished Flash a while ago too, but it's just, I seem to do them in binging where I get a bunch of them built up and go through, you know, 4 or 5 weeks at a time, but.
I think with so many shows and arcs between them, it's the only way to do it. It's
tough if you happen to see the ads and it's like, oh, crossover episode coming next. Okay, I got to make sure I watch all the ones in sequence up to that date so I don't get the wrong one, out of order. Because they do that a lot. They do it between all three shows sometimes. And then Make sure you watch the right one first, or else you miss the story entirely.
When don't they have four shows? They do it with Legends too.
Oh yeah, Legends has been out in a while though. I think I finished that a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. They do sometimes.
I got overwhelmed by the volume. I'm sure it's amazing, but like it's so much.
It's good stuff, but you know,
Legends and Black Lightning are the two that I haven't caught up on.
Black Lightning, I've not finished Black yet. Lightning. Yeah, I have that on my DVR too, but I have not caught up on that. Oh, well, okay, so let's see, box office updates. Big week in the box office. Incredibles 2 did amazing, 180 Yay. For its first week. Not unexpected, I suppose.
Did it do as well as Solo?
It's done better than Solo. It's almost done what Solo's done in 4 weeks in 1 week, 1 weekend.
But that's a Pixar movie. That's not surprising for a Pixar movie.
Yeah,
I mean, it is compared to a Star Wars movie, it's absolutely surprising.
But well, we've talked about the problems that Solo faced.
I know.
Yeah. So,
but yeah,
good for. I mean, $180 million opening weekend is it's incredible. It's really that's astonishingly impressive, though. That's really good.
One thing I didn't look at was how it compared to other Pixar openings.
That's a good point.
Let's look at that. So
you want me to read over the rest of the box office update while you look that up?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll check that.
It looks like you're looking it up.
That's good.
Okay. So Incredibles 2, obviously, first week, $180 million, which is awesome. Ocean's 8 brought in about another $20 million for a total of about $80 million in its second week. Tag was the other big opener this week, and it brought in $14.6 million, which, to be fair, up against Incredibles 2 and Ocean's 8, that's not that bad, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And Solo's it's not a sequel place. Or a franchise.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, for not a tentpole movie, no sequel right. franchise, nothing like that. It's
unrated.
It's got
R.
some big stars in it, but
yeah,
yeah. Solo brought in fourth place with another $9 million for a total of $192 million in week four. And man, is it gonna stink if this doesn't break $200 million in its entire box office run. That's
yeah.
If it does, it'll just squeak by. That's pretty sad. Deadpool 2, however, has definitely surpassed it. It brought in another $8.8 million for a total of $294 million in week five.
That's impressive for a number two movie of a movie that was not a big tentpole franchise film. But
hey, now it was always a tentpole franchise movie.
We should probably shouldn't talk
people's ignorance about how awesome Deadpool is does not change Deadpool's awesomeness. Just saying.
Okay. So while you were doing that, I did look up Pixar stuff. And opening weekends, Incredibles 2 is the number one opening weekend by far. 180 for Incredibles 2. Finding Dory was 135. Toy Story 3 was 110. It goes down from there.
Okay. I had thought that it was bigger than the others, but I thought Toy Story 3 was second place. I forgot about Finding Dory.
And Toy Story 3 did 110, Inside Out did 90. I'm surprised these haven't done better opening weekend. I thought they were much better than that, but I'm just gonna, Toy Story opening weekend was $29 million.
Well, that was a long time ago.
It was
ago.
A long time
That's
ago,
before
yes.
movies pulled this kind of weight.
I know.
And it was the first Pixar film, so nobody knew anything about the fact that this is true. Something they should pay attention to.
True. So, yeah, 180.
Nah,
very
it's okay.
impressive. Come on. That's a good
Could
number.
Be better. Could have been 181, you know?
Oh, Jesus.
Just
Eric.
Saying. You know.
Always looking for that cloud around the silver lining, huh?
That's Goodness. Okay. They'll get better.
Let's see. Next week, you've been waiting for Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. That's hitting the theaters in a few days.
Yeah. You know, it's been out in the UK for a while now, and people are saying it's really good. People are saying it's worth the hype.
Okay. I mean,
so
the last one.
I mean, that's a good endorsement.
I think everybody's surprised by what the last Jurassic or the first Jurassic World did. It's been so long since Jurassic Park had been out, and I was like, okay, what are you going to You're doing this again. You're coming back to this whole same thing again. And it did wonders, right? I mean, it did amazing. Yeah. So.
Well, it was a fresh take on it. I mean, not only with the new cast, but it was a little bit different thing than we'd seen before. I mean, this was an active amusement park, right? This is The others, it was always, oh, we're going to build a theme park and it never gets off the ground because everything falls apart. Well, now it's up and running and there are crowds there and we're going to get to see not like five people eaten by T-Rexes. We're going to get to see like thousands of people crushed under the feet of, you know, hundreds of stampeding dinosaurs. Like the blood count, the body count's going to be massive. So of course,
Is that why you went?
Wow, Eric was really excited about the body count.
That's why everybody went to see it.
Oh, is it? Because I went for Chris Pratt's face.
Well,
so.
Oh boy.
Bonus that it was a good movie, but I got what I paid for.
You know, you could have bought a poster and save yourself a lot of money.
It doesn't talk to me.
Well, that just depends on how creative you are.
I guess it could.
Yeah, see? Yep.
I got to have my imagination checked.
Write your own script.
That's scary. Okay, moving right along. Later this month, we have Sicario coming out, Uncle Drew coming out. And then next month, we have all kinds of stuff. So we'll wait and see. But June is about halfway over. We'll see how the rest of this month pans out. Our movie draft is still moving right along. And I'm not sure where I stand right now, but I'm not holding any hope for the
I know where everybody stands. Everybody's like, yeah, Andrea's won. And that's where they stand.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's going to be another movie draft, too.
There will. We got to do it this month, don't we?
This coming Saturday, a week from yesterday.
Oh. I just want a little loop.
Maybe we'll let you attend.
Maybe.
If you behave.
Oh.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I've got two wins to my name, so I'll just hold those two out.
Andrea's going to be moderating it.
Oh, boy.
And then she's going to win this one, too. So she's going to be moderating two in a row. So
good for her.
Yeah. Heaven help us.
We'll see. She's going to rule that draft with an iron fist, I can imagine.
That's probably not a movie.
Yeah. It's a TV show.
Sorry.
That's the Netflix draft. See,
we also have our Fantasy Movie League. You can get involved with us there by going to randomchatter.com/FML invite. And it's a weekly version of what we do for the movie draft, run by the Fantasy Movie League website. We have our own private little group there, which Tim is just dominating all the time there. I don't know what's going on with him. He can't do the movie draft for our movie draft for anything, but FML.
Tim's the only person.
Let him win.
Tim is the only person who's actually sat down and come up with a strategy. That's what my strategy for the Fantasy Movie League is. I log in, I look at the stuff, I say, man, I sucked last week. I should do something different. And then I just throw a bunch of movies in there and walk out. So it's always like a 30-second long process.
Which is kind of my strategy. My strategy is, oh my God, the deadline's coming up. Let me throw something on there really quick. Or, oh my God, the deadline passed. I'm so screwed. Which happened this week.
Yeah. Or you do it right at the beginning of the week and you're like, I've got all week to come back and revisit this. So you just throw whatever in there so that. Yeah.
That's always rough.
Yep.
Oh, well. Let's move on to our show notes for this new story this week. This one kind of surprised me. I hadn't heard any rumors about this, but Star Trek Discovery is going through a host of changes for producers. They're getting rid of their two showrunners. Aaron Harbitz and Gretchen Berg are now out for two kind of surprising reasons. One of them was that their budget is way over. And they the first five episodes they said are pretty much done with production. They're getting ready to go into hiatus for the next six episodes for the season season two. But they're way over budget, so they're going to pull that budget out of the next five or six episodes, which means the second half of season two is probably going to be really poor, at least as far as visual effects goes.
And nice. It's going to be a bottle episode. It's going to be that typical thing where someone's stranded in a shuttle and it's three people and they're just talking the whole episode.
That'll be the entire.
Or the one where they have to go back and do the day over and over and over again. And they can just use one effect 75 times.
Yeah, the Groundhog Day episode. Right.
We wrote it for them. We did it.
That'll be for the entire six episodes for the second half of the season. So it'll be even more interesting. But above and beyond the budget thing, I was surprised to hear that there was just allegations of abuse against the writing staff. I mean, making it a hostile work environment and just not being very kind towards your writing staff. So that leaves who is the main guy there? Alex Kurtzman. Sorry. space for a second. He's still giving me the executive producer. He's probably taking over the show running for the second half of season two. But you know, I don't know where this leaves us. I mean, they got this show behind the paywall. It's only for diehard people that are really wanting to see this, because otherwise there's no way to see it. And now there's more rumors about controversy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I ponied up for the CBS All Access for the first season, probably canceled it when it was done.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, do I really want to do it for the next time? Are they going to come out on DVD at some point or streaming or something? But I don't know. What are your what's your take on this, guys?
I don't watch the show mainly because I'm not cool. I don't like the paywall situation that they've created. And I like already subscribed to some things that I'm very happy with subscribing to.
Right.
And I've heard great things and I would love to watch it someday. But like, it's just not what I'm just not going to buy it for one show. That's just how it's working out for me.
Yeah. And I had a hard time deciding that myself.
Yeah, it's a tough choice. It's like we have Hulu, we have Netflix, and those offer a wide range of things, even Amazon Prime. Those all offer a wide range of shows across different networks, shows that are finished, old shows, new shows, whatever. They're creating their own shows. There's a lot of things, you know. But for one network to come out with their, you know, what they have offered, and I'm sure there's other things on there. It's not just like, you know, Big Bang Theory and Star Trek Discovery. Like, they have a lot of shows. CBS does, but I just was like, meh. Like, I'd like to see it, but one day when it's finished, I'll just watch it. I don't, like, we're good. I have a lot of shows. We're good.
Right. But I mean, like CBS, like you said, there's enough stuff on there that I may watch, like Big Bang Theory or what have you, but I watch on my DVR. I don't need to get the pay service to see it.
Exactly. Right.
But I have to get the pay service to see Star Trek Discovery, which was a really good show for season one. I thought it was well done.
It was. Very.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that it did well. Just it definitely didn't change my mind about paying to see it, given that I already have plenty of subscription services I'm happy with.
Right, and I can't blame you for that. I totally agree.
Well, the good news is for those who do want to check it out, you can do the 30-day trial, and then you can just binge watch the show for free, and you don't actually have to pay anything for it. My issue with it, in concept, I don't have a problem with them putting it behind a paywall, because, I mean, effectively, that's what Netflix is doing with all of their Marvel show, well, with all of their content. Mm-hmm. It's what Hulu does with some of their content, et cetera, Amazon video. But these other venues have multiple shows that,
right?
Yeah,
you know, and this is one thing. There's no way I'm going to pay nearly as much as I pay a month for Netflix or Hulu to get one show.
Right.
That once I'm caught up on it, I mean, the rest of the year is nothing. Yeah, there's stuff, but it's all stuff, like you said, Lou. I'm getting it on my DVR anyway. Or if I miss an episode or two, I can either get it through Hulu, or I can, if I really have to, I can hop onto iTunes and buy a single episode for $1.99 or $2.99 if I'm that desperate. And it's still cheaper than what it would cost for the entire month of this service. Plus, then I would have the video to that particular episode to watch anytime I want. I don't know how much of a benefit that might be depending on the show, but it doesn't make sense yet. It will someday.
You're right.
Right now, it doesn't.
Well, it'll be the only thing all of them do one day, but we're not there yet. And so maybe. It's a bit rich to be like, I'm CBS of all networks. I feel like ABC could have easily done it and had enough offerings that you might be like, oh, I do want to watch all six seasons of Lost. They'd rip it from Netflix and it'd be available on theirs. It would make sense, you know, but like, I don't see that from CBS. You know what I mean?
Right. There's no incentive here. There's no compelling reason.
I mean,
and in the future, what I'm going to do. Go ahead, Lou.
I'd be happier to buy a season on iTunes or something and have that forever. Paying maybe three times what, you know, a monthly fee for CBS All Access would be, but I'd own it. I'd have it at that point.
And
but,
you're still ahead of it for the year.
Right.
You know, and season's going to be $30, and that's what, three and a half months worth of this service. So why not just, I mean, that's what I'm going to do in the future. I'm either going to wait until season two is completely aired and hop in for 1 month, binge watch it and hop out. Mm-hmm. Or I'll just buy the season on iTunes and keep up with it as it comes out. Listen, this is a great show. Like, legitimately, this is a show that I would have no problem, if I could afford it, I'd have no problem purchasing the season of this show. And it's unlike the other Star Trek series, in my opinion, this has enough depth to it and enough mystery and intrigue and et cetera, and like details to go back and rewatch again, that I would gladly rewatch it again. At least one more time, if not a couple of times. Like, it's a legitimately awesome science fiction show. As far as the change of the showrunners, I mean, I guess it doesn't surprise me a whole lot that there were budget problems, because it looked really good. I mean, you could tell that they spent a lot of money on it. So that's a good thing. But they probably shouldn't have put that much money into it, given their business model, which we were just talking about. Staff mistreatment is always a concern. And if they needed to be kicked out on that regard, then so be it. I mean, good riddance.
Well, I will say, I think we're living in a time where there's a less tolerance. I think in the past, this would have come out after the show ended, and everyone would have been like, I was never happy on that show. And we would have been like, what? You know, but now it's like we get real time updates from things like that. And the tolerance level given, like, I mean, this is not sexual harassment, but harassment of any nature is something that needs to be handled.
Mm-hmm. There's work just environment.
There's no tolerance in this country right now from that. So,
in any other industry, there hasn't been tolerance for a lot of this stuff for years now. And there have been live updates on things. You can go to your HR department and complain. And it's still, the problem still exists, and it's not where it needs to be. But at least relatively speaking, compared to Hollywood, there has been a system through which you can actually pursue this stuff. And there are still hurdles in the way, and we need to get rid of those hurdles. But Hollywood, like you said, has always been, you know, you hear about it years later, you never hear about it while it's happening. So in that regard, at least Hollywood's catching up to the rest of the world, and then hopefully we'll continue to move forward. Alex Kurtzman is a good guy, though. I mean, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, he's been involved with Star Trek since the first J.J. Abrams movie. So he's been involved with this for a while.
Yeah.
But Lizzie, you were going to say something about the
misconduct. Just going to say, I feel like a lot of the Hollywoodism regarding harassment stems from sort of the golden age, where the perception was more important than the person. And, you know, actors and actresses were basically owned by studios. Most people know this that follow anything in Hollywood, and anything that was against the perception that they wanted to put out there was not tolerated. I mean, I look at Debbie Reynolds, who was married to Eddie Fisher, basically because the studio forced them to get married. And then Eddie Fisher had an affair with Elizabeth Taylor, and then that spurred Elizabeth Taylor's career. And all of that is because of studio control. And all of that is, I don't think we have an understanding, and we're starting to, but I don't even think we've touched the surface of the understanding of how deep that control goes to spin the message, to just have a spin on everything. And so the perception that a set is a fun place to work and everybody's happy and the cast loves each other, that's what we as audience wants to see. We don't want to see that there was dissent in the writer's room to the point that they were screaming at people and they were abusive. Like, no one wants to see that. But what we want to see is swift action in the midst of knowing about that, you know?
Right. But that perception of, we want to see peace through all of this. We're talking about an industry that makes their money based on what people want to see. So they're always there's that incentive to present that front, even when it's false. And I mean, this is so an dangerous industry where you get by on favors. I mean, it's a popularity contest. It's a lot like politics. And that's why we see so many similarities between politics and the entertainment industry. It's all who you know, who do you owe favors to, who owes you favors. You know, blackmail, extortion, et cetera. And I'm really hoping, as are a lot of people, that that's going to stop. That's going to change now, or at least start aggressively moving in the right direction. And there have been a couple of other one other situation this past week with Chris Hardwick. You guys have heard about that?
Yes.
Bits and pieces. I know you're probably more up to date on it than I am, but.
So Chris Hardwick is, you know, I've been podcasting since almost the beginning of podcasting. So I've always been a little bit jealous of Chris Hardwick because he's had my dream job. He's a professional fan, a professional geek. He gets to, you know, he's had popular podcasts. He's gotten to interview pretty much any geek related celebrity he wants to. He hosts San Diego Comic-Con panels. He hosts after shows for The Talking Dead and, you know, a bunch of different AMC shows. And now he's got a game show on NBC. So he's kind of always been seen as the avatar for the fanboy. And now some information is coming out about a past relationship of his where this individual cited a lot of psychological abuse, cited some sexual abuse, though, without any specifics, and didn't name him directly, but enough people who knew her, knew about the situation, understood that that's exactly who she was talking about.
And the pieces of the timeline that she's put out there make it very clear that it is him.
Exactly.
Without having to name him.
Okay. It's very clear that there's correlation there, and there's almost no doubt that, well, I mean, he came out and he came out with a statement that is being torn apart and is not really the best type of statement to make.
It's a terrible statement. I don't understand his PR people are polite. In the midst of this statement.
Right, right. Somebody additionally also needs to be fired there, too. But so he addresses the claim. So obviously it's about him because his response basically accepts the fact that it's directly about him. And it's one of these situations where people are very quick to rush to his defense. And I think that we see that sometimes in Hollywood with celebrities and politicians too, because those people are exposing themselves to millions and millions of people in their audience. And they're only presenting the part of them that they want to present. So you're seeing the ideal side of these people, unless you're someone who the paparazzi is following like every step of the way, which is, you know, the A-list celebrities, of which Chris Hardwick is far from being. Sure. Yeah, he's no Alec Baldwin. He's no Princess Diana. He's not, right. I mean, he's not got paparazzi at his heels all the time. So all you're going to see of Chris Hardwick is what Chris Hardwick wants you to see of him.
When he's not, you a have household no idea name. What he's
like behind closed doors. What's that?
He's not a household name.
Right.
So he's very much well known in the circles in which he's known in, and that's podcasting and geekdom and fandom and television shows and all of those arenas. But he's not necessarily a household name at all.
And specifically, his role in those arenas is to work the crowd, right?
Yeah, right. He's a moderator. Host. He's a hype guy.
Exactly. I mean, he's not an actor. He's not a musician. He is the guy that is there to steer the focus of the audience.
He got his start on Singled Out. So,
did he?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, I've never really been a fan of his per se. I've not consumed a lot of his content. I've listened to some of his podcasts when he was on The Nerdist, and I've seen some episodes of The Talking Dead. But like I know the role he has, and I'm like, oh, geez, it'd be cool if I could do that someday. I don't claim to know him personally, but neither should anybody else, really. Again, we're seeing what he presents. So people are really quick, though, to take any sort of allegation and come up with all kinds of reasons why that must not be true. I mean, it goes right back to the, and aside from celebrities, it goes right back to the, well, what were you wearing when you went out that night? Like, yep. Did you do something to somehow invite this on yourself? Or, well, but this and but that, like it, there's a state of denial that a lot of people initially have.
Or like in his statement where he says she cheated on me and like, that's any kind of
justification. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
So you've got denial, you've got justification.
Yeah. I was a big fan of his for a long time. I love Nerdist. I love Geek and Sundry. I like the community that he sort of created. I like, I liked his persona that was portrayed. I've seen him do some things live. I've seen him moderate panels. You know, I really liked what he's put out there. So I was very surprised by this. One thing that I'm really not about to have. And I'm really upset with is people online who are like, I knew he was garbage from the beginning. Like, no, you didn't. Mm. And even if you did, what does it have to do with it? Does that mean Chloe was stupid for not having seen the signs? That's what it sounds like. And this kind of like backlash against.
Right. Like, you would have known better.
Right. Like, okay. What? Also, no. Like, that doesn't. And I've seen a lot of that on Twitter. Twitter's been a garbage truck fire lately with this, especially with this.
With a lot of things.
It was.
Twitter is bad for a lot of things out there right now.
Twitter's the new Reddit.
It's crazy because I love Twitter for so many reasons. And then, but when it like lights itself on fire, it really does a job like no other. Like, it's just like the worst of humanity is like, I'm here too. Like, what?
Right. So the other side of this too is I think that people are also pushing back with the whole innocent until proven guilty thing. And In a certain context, I agree wholeheartedly with that. You are absolutely innocent until you're proven guilty. And I've seen many cases where the mere allegation of things have destroyed people's lives. However, you've also got to temper that with looking at the nature of the accusation, the context of the accusation, how many people have come forward, and apparently there have been a few others. I mean, she has got a really credible, very descriptive narrative there that I have to say is really compelling. And there is a reason to believe that it's true. Now, we do have to understand that we don't know that it's true. We believe that it's true. There's a difference between knowing something and believing something. But I have to say, I believe that she's probably telling the truth.
Yeah, I mean, there's what you know, there's what you believe and what you can prove.
Right. But so here's the thing, too. We have to make some decisions. Are we going to continue to consume his content? Are we going to continue to support his endeavors as fans? So we have to kind of make a decision based on what we have at the moment.
Yep. Right. So there's been a lot of court of public opinion chatter. Well, with something like this, that's what we get to work with. Like that's
And you put yourself in the public eye. I mean, he's a public figure. He chose that.
Exactly.
That's part of what's involved in this now. So
that's not to say that you get to be. I hate the idea that that a famous person gets to be scrutinized or run through the coals for every little thing or whatever decision they made in the past is what they're beholden to in the future. I hate that idea. But there is something that happens when you do enter the public eye that it is a responsibility. It is. It's something Uncle Ben would have told Peter Parker about, you know what I mean? Like, it's just facts. And so, like, number one, his response is telling to me, 100%. Number two, a woman doesn't come out with that kind of detail and put herself out there, not naming his name, just basically saying, like, this, I can't go any further, and being and knowing what Me Too is doing for people, if I can do that for somebody else, essentially, is what she's saying with it. And number three,
and then
in the
specifically
postscript,
claiming she can document it with proof if it really comes down to that.
Yeah. In the postscript, she talks about the documentation that she does have. Now, for companies like AMC and BBC, that is key. And I will say that is where you really need to get into the legality of fact and proof. Like, that is where that is the place that is belongs and should be. That is what should be in the court of actual courts. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's what.
Right.
Well,
there's a difference between going to court and a court of public opinion. And I agree with you, Lizzie. To some extent, you know, I feel for these people that have everything under a magnifying glass about everything they do. And anything that's said, we're so hypersensitive these days that, you know, companies will drop you as a sponsor or whatever, you know, whatever affiliations you have just to distance themselves from that. Whether that was true or not is another story. But, you know, that's why it needs to be, everything is out there is so scrutinized. You know, you got to watch everything that goes on. Now, it may come to a court case. It may not. If he's guilty, he's guilty. But that's a decision for the courts to make, not for us. But I wholeheartedly believe if you don't want to follow somebody like that, that you don't believe in that kind of thing. If you believe what the story was about him, don't follow. You know, vote with your dollars. You know, don't support, don't consume his product anymore.
Now, some aspect of this, though, Lou, is that AMC and NBC do have to make decisions based on how people vote with their dollars. In addition to...
I think AMC already made a decision, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yeah. He is, so to clarify, good point. He's no longer on any of the after shows that he had been doing before. He is also no longer doing either of the San Diego Comic-Con panels
right.
that he had been booked for. NBC has come out with a statement saying, listen, his show The Wall doesn't start production again until the fall. So we're going to take the time between now and then to investigate it and to determine what we can about what's going on and then come to a decision. And I think that that is the correct approach. You can't just damn someone based on an accusation alone, but you never ignore the accusation ever. You right. always look at it right. and you investigate it. Because part of the problem is too many of these accusations go unheard because they're not made in the first place because the victim's intimidated.
Right.
Or as Chloe cites in her article, that her career was basically tanked in the aftermath of a lot of what was going on right. by Chris Hardwick and company. So right. Where is she supposed to go? Where's this supposed to get out? She doesn't have the platform thing. He has.
Or they're not listened to and nothing is done about it after the complaints and accusations are made. That's why mm-hmm. everything does absolutely have to get investigated. Now, AMC is a little more on the spot because they have to make a decision immediately.
Right.
And they can either make a decision based on what they investigate and find, or they can make a decision based on all of the advertisers walking out and all of their support disappearing for what, again, is an industry where it's all about giving the audience what the audience is interested in. So... Mm-hmm. I applaud AMC for taking action, and I applaud NBC for investigating because they have that opportunity before taking action. But either way, this needs to be looked into.
San Diego Comic-Con, because he's supposed to moderate the Doctor Who panel, and a lot of people are calling for him not to.
Yep.
Well, I think San Diego Comic-Con already canceled. Yeah, they already...
Did they? Yep. Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, he's out of... Well, I think it was worded that he has, quote, stepped away from... that. So in other words, I think that maybe suggested that he go ahead and do it and he, you know, kind of pled no contest
right
in that regard. So
the one thing that I will say, I've said a lot, I'm gonna say another thing. That's the wrong way to put that. Here's another thing to say. No one's come out being like people who know him, like are like, no, not Chris Hardwick. No one's coming to his, swooping to his defense that know him very well. And his fans are. Team.
But what, yeah, well, yeah, the no, fans none are, of his coworkers, they don't know him. None of his...
So that's nice that you like him, but it doesn't matter. But,
and the show he was going to start on AMC with interviews and stuff, a lot of the guests have pulled out.
Yeah, people aren't standing for this. That makes your answer
pretty
easy
for AMC to say, well, nobody wants to be interviewed by you, so I guess I don't have a show for you. I mean, there's so much physical, even in sports. I mean, there was the whole thing with Lance Armstrong years ago when, I don't use performance-enhancing drugs. I've never doped. I've never done this and that. You know, he's been an advocate against that kind of thing. And people supported him. And it was like, okay, great. And then it came out that he did. And everybody left. It's like, no, we're not going to support you. We're not going to, And that's fine. I mean, you vote with your dollars. You can make decisions on what comes out there. You're a public, person.
This is even more tragic than that, because in this case, these actions have victims, direct victims.
Yep.
So.
Right. Well, it's crazy to think about. It's sexual abuse. It's emotional abuse. And it's also like the abuse of in her career. It's it spans so many different areas. That's what makes it even more disturbing. Not that there isn't just something disturbing about sexual abuse on its own, but the fact that
it was total and utter control of every aspect of her life, what she could wear, where she could go, whether she could talk when they were in public, talk to him in an elevator or something in case there were microphones and such. Like, it was extreme.
Yeah.
That's outrageous. Yeah,
Lou, you should go back and read the actual article.
Yeah, I will have to read more of it because
she posted.
I've only known the periphery of it.
Again, if this is true, and I have to say it was pretty convincing, this is some extreme control. Like, he controlled every aspect of her life.
It has to be said that, like, it, just because you liked somebody, like, it doesn't mean, I think what's hard to hear about, like, I knew he was bad all along. Well, you're missing the fact that humans aren't just bad or good. He can be somebody that you liked. I admit that I really, really liked him. And this is surprising to me. I don't want this to be true. I wish it wasn't true, not only for Chloe, but for who I thought he was. But that's not how people work sometimes. So to say, like, oh, he was bad all along, that's painting a very black and white picture. And that's just not how humanity works.
Right. Well, look at, I mean, I like to use the example of Bill Cosby. I mean, he's convicted in a court of law, but, and I want to be clear before I even start this sentence, because people will turn the podcast off before I finish. You need to hear the end of it, but I don't condone anything he's done. And this, what he's done in the past that was good doesn't excuse any of it. But going back to the past, he had a show on television that was a comedy, that was a positive comedy, that put a positive spin on family life instead of things like Married with Children or The Simpsons or things like that. He also did a lot for the representation of Black families on television. He did a crap load for education. Like, for a long time, I looked at this guy as a hero, not because of the stuff on the air, but because of the effect that he had in real life. I looked up to Bill Cosby, and then this stuff came out, and I mean, obviously no more. He's convicted. He apparently deserved to be convicted. I wasn't there in court, but yeah, I'm going to go with what the jury decided, and he's going to get what's coming to him. Like, it's... just because someone does some good things or some things that you like, that doesn't mean that you know the entirety of the person.
Right.
And that especially doesn't mean that they're also not doing bad things. Right.
Yeah. It's such a tough issue. It's obviously difficult to talk about. And I think the more we can, like, stop yelling about it, which is just what I've seen a lot. I think also in our own Discord channel, which just shows the level of emotion behind something like this. It's a betrayal by the person that you really liked at the core. It is a betrayal of that, not only to us, the fans of his, but most especially to the person that he's hurt. And that's difficult to talk about and difficult to accept. Nobody's saying it isn't, but we have to, like, be able to talk about it. Or else we're getting to the 1940s Hollywood situation where, you know, I read an article where Hollywood, like, one of the studios forced Judy Garland to have an abortion in the midst of her career because it didn't suit the persona that they wanted to have of her as a young girl who was in Wizard of Oz, you know? And so that's the danger of this sort of, like, really, I don't know, it's not right or left. It's just an extreme side that you would be on.
This has nothing to do with politics inherently.
I'm just extremity. It's like an extreme. It's an extreme of keeping things locked up and silent in order to create perceptions. And that's what's been done for so long, as we know, with Harvey Weinstein and everybody else. And it hasn't stopped there. There are more. And if we think that there aren't, then we're being naive. And we have to allow people to bring that out to light and to figure out. I don't think anybody has come out as lying. None of these women have come out that you haven't seen, like, this onslaught of fake allegations. You've seen real women who have been hurt coming out and talking. So to say, like, she made it up, it wasn't real abuse, so she's XYZ, so that makes it invalid. No. just no.
Right. I want to go back before you go on. Something you had said about how it kind of feels like a betrayal to the fans. And I have to think that that's where a lot of this denial from a lot of the fans comes from, because you don't want to believe. I can understand. I don't condone it, but I can understand the denial that people have. And I think that that's where a lot of this fighting back and forth amongst the fans is coming from, because there are people who just don't want to accept that this could be true, whether it's Chris Hardwick or anybody else, any sort of celebrity. If you are a fan of that celebrity, you don't want to believe that that's true. And because they wouldn't betray you like that. So you come up with every reason why it must not be true until you are faced with an absolute truth that, well, no, I mean, Bill Cosby, we've had 800,000 people come forward and there's court evidence and he's been convicted. Like, how much more proof do you need? So I think that what, and this fortunately is something we saw at the end of the day with our Discord community when this came up there, is that people need to realize that we need to start going back to listening to one another instead of just having these initial reactions.
Right.
Regardless from, you know, which side it comes from, and just sit down and this, it's good that we are looking at these things now and we are accepting that our celebrities are not heroes and our celebrities are not role models. Our celebrities are people who provide us with entertainment and you can admire them. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's a limit. Like, don't take it too far. Don't assume that this person is someone to idolize because they're probably not. Nobody is perfect. So what is it that makes this person worth idolizing when the people you know in real life, your best friend, if you can't idolize them because you know enough about their lives to know that they have weaknesses and to know that they mess things up and that they've made mistakes and they've hurt people because everybody hurts people, then what makes you think that this person's any different just because they're popular? Like, people need to get out of that mentality of idolizing these people and calling them heroes when they're not. Admire
except
them
for Tom
from
Hanks,
a distance,
you can idolize him because he's delightful.
Again, you have to look at
until
the evidence.
He's
you have
not,
to look at
which
what
will
they've
break
done.
America.
Tom Hanks has done a lot of good stuff outside of the acting work that he's done. And so that counts for something. Now, if it comes out that all of a sudden that there's a bunch of accusations against Tom Hanks at some point, you have to look at those two. Those have to be investigated. And I don't think it'll ever happen because I don't believe he's that type of person. But I don't know Tom Hanks.
Same. But if it ever did, the fabric of our world would crumble.
Oh, yeah, the space-time continuum would
he
tear
is the linchpin.
Yeah.
It could be very,
no,
very
I'm
bad.
With you there.
It won't. He's wonderful. We're talking about Hardwick, and he's out.
Yeah. Bye, Chris.
Oh, well. So
I know we spent a lot of time on that one.
We have. Shall we go on to the next?
Yeah, I'm supposed to record another show here soon.
Oh, that's right. You got to run. Yeah,
another show?
Are you
that's okay. No,
now,
I got a message saying that they're delayed a little bit, so I'm good for a little longer.
Okay,
there
cool.
are no other shows, Eric. Don't make things up.
I see how it's going
to
be.
Well, let's move on to the other fun and heartwarming story we have this week.
Oh yes.
The real upper.
Yeah. So
I can't even, like, I have a hard time even talking about this one.
And this kind of exemplifies everything that's bad about Twitter and bad about the social interactions online.
I'm going to push back on that. Twitter's not
really
the problem.
Well,
it's, but because Lou, it also happened on Reddit. It happened on Facebook. Yeah. It happened on MySpace. This exemplifies the problem with society when there are no consequences. As soon as you can become anonymous.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which Twitter makes it easy to do.
Yep. You would never say these kind of things to somebody's face because you can get online and type in your phone and just have it posted. There's no repercussions for you. So
you can also choose whether or not to look at the replies. You guys say, I don't want to see any replies. I'll mute them if you don't want to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
I do it all the time with Tim.
Yep.
We all do it all the time with Tim. So what we're getting at here is Stranger Things star Millie Bobby Brown has left Twitter. She'd become the topic of a bunch of homophobic memes and a bunch of just nasty comments about her that's kind of snowballed since last fall, where it's been fans' supposed interactions with her in real life. And it's just come down to utterly ridiculous comments
jokes
that people make. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the Aristocrats joke, if you've ever heard that. There was actually a documentary on comedians about the joke, the Aristocrats. And the idea is you come up with this, it's competition among comedians. It's a competition to see who can come up with the most absolutely, utterly offensive joke. And then,
lovely.
Yeah. And then the punchline at the end is always, you know, and we call this act the Aristocrats. It's a whole thing. But this is basically a version of that. It started from a tweet back in November with the hashtag Take Down Millie Bobby Brown. And someone tweeted and said, I saw Millie Brown at the airport and asked for a pic, and she said, only if you remove the hijab. And I said, it's my faith. And she aggressively pulled it off my head and stamped on it. I think they meant stomped on it, but that's okay. I tend to be a grammar Nazi when people are being ridiculous, stuff like this. And so someone responded to this, and this is on Twitter, and said, you don't wear a hijab in your profile pic. So then this person responded and said, yeah, because she ripped it off me. So this person was reported and suspended.
That makes no sense.
But since then, like, and if you think that's bad, the level at which these stories are, like, we can't even come close to describing them on the show. And I'm really good about, like, talking around things. And I can't even come up with ways to describe some of the ridiculously explicit, gross, repugnant things that have been said.
Yeah. Ugh. You're right, because I'm reading through some of these tweets. I'm going, there's no way we can talk about that. There's no way we can even hint around this story. It's just people have been trying to come up with the most outlandish things they can say that she had done when they met her and asked for a pic. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, racism, sexism, homophobic stuff, like things that even in a horror movie are so physically grotesque and violent, you literally can't put them in a horror movie. But they're getting tweeted about her online. And this is a 14-year-old girl who has a reputation for being one of the sweetest, humblest people out there. I mean, it's the Kelly Marie Tran thing all over again, but more extreme. Mm-hmm. What's that?
I said she's so precious on Instagram. She's like kid sister. Like, she's so sweet.
But like, people so want control over things they have no control. It gives them a sense of power. And that's what this comes down to.
I mean, every interview I've seen with her, every time I saw her at New York Comic Con a couple years ago, it's just, I mean, she comes off as being so genuine, so sweet. Why somebody would start the hashtag take down Millie Bobby Brown, it baffles me.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you even start that? Yeah, my guess.
Yeah. It's another part of this whole, like, idolizing celebrities. There's a very dark side of that. Even, I mean, idolization can have a dark side of itself, but there's a dark side of, like, taking people down a peg from our lower standpoint of, you know, there's a pedestal that they're put on. The more stones you throw at someone, the more you want to see if they'll fall off, kind of thing. And our culture lives on that. I mean, we're in the worst, a very bad time period of that being aggrandized for many reasons. But like, that's what people, this is what this, like, sort of mob mentality loves to see, is like, how can we take someone down? Take someone down who is successful overnight, almost, you know, she came, sort of came out of nowhere with Stranger Things.
Sure.
She's someone who seems like just genuinely sweet, and that can sadly leave a vulnerability for crazy people.
You can't have anything anymore that represents purity or represents any sort of an absolute good. And I'm not saying that Millie Bobby Brown is a perfect person either. Nobody is.
But she has a perception of that kindness and that sweetness.
Right. And you can't have something that represents that purity, because then that shines a light on that which is impure in ourselves. And so people tend to lash out against that and to try to take it down and diminish it. And it's disgusting. Guys, it says something about how weak you are as a person.
Right.
If the only way that you can get higher up is to pull somebody else down lower, why can't you, like, elevate yourself as a human being by doing something good or helping other people or focusing on what's good in yourself and trying to eliminate the bad?
Yeah.
But instead, we get this.
It's the other part of the conversation of abuse that we're talking about. It's this power play. It's abuse of someone they don't even know and have never had actual contact with. It's this whole power. It's like what you're saying. It's seeing success calls out the lack of success or different kind of success in your own life. If you're basing it on fame and you don't have any, then that's shining a light. Right, of course. Now, I just have to say, we are getting hella deep in this episode.
We are.
Well,
we
know what? It goes back to what you said. Mute people that you see do that. Report them. And Tim has been one of the people I know on a personal level who's done a lot of reporting of people who are abusing people and stuff like that. When he sees it somewhere on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, report them. mute them, and then look at yourself. Look at what you can do to be a positive influence on the people around you and to set an example and to show gratitude for other people when they do something positive and, right. and good and helpful to other people. Let's bring that back as part of society, because it's not that hard to do. So let's do that.
Yeah. I mean, it all comes back to the everyday life with everything that we see. I mean, how often do you see good stories in the news versus bad stories in the news?
When
I see those good stories, I'm like, oh, I feel that's awesome. Thank you for reporting on something good for a change. You know, it's like,
yeah. Well, I'm starting to think that they're so rare that they might start to sell better, Lizzie.
That's maybe. True.
Let's go create some good news stories, though. You know,
there like,
I just in general, let's just be that to one another.
Yes.
Anyway, there are other stories.
Yeah. So
let's
let's do one more story here as a long depth story, and I'll kind of do a lightning round for everything else after that. So
pick an upper.
Eric, you kind of brought this to our attention here: the AT&T purchase of Time Warner.
Oh, I hope it's an upper.
What does this mean for us? Is this a good thing?
There are two things. There's something about what it means in the business world regarding acquisitions and government regulations and things like that. And I don't want to get into that here. I am so far from being an expert on that. Mm-hmm. If you want that kind of news, hit CNN, hit, wherever you get your news from. And I'm not trying to single anybody out. I just like go look into it if you're interested in the industry side of things, because it actually does open up a lot of concerns regarding antitrust issues, monopolies, there was a lot of regulation that indicated this shouldn't have gone through. And now that it has, it's opened up a lot of doors that some people are thrilled about and some people are petrified about. As far as the entertainment industry goes, this means AT&T is going to get Warner Brothers, which includes DC Comics and all the related DC stuff.
Okay.
They're getting Turner, which is huge.
Yep.
They're getting HBO.
Wow.
Which is huge.
Big one, yeah.
If you've gone into an AT&T store recently to get a cell phone and they've tried to sell you on additional services, they probably brought up over the last year or two that this merger has been something that's been in the works, because one of the things AT&T has been planning to do is to make the upcoming Warner Brothers streaming service available to free or for free to their customers. If you have like an AT&T cell phone and stuff like that, and they also want DirecTV. So for example, I have AT&T and DirecTV and I get HBO Go for free on my phone because I get it through as an AT&T customer.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot of kind of cross promotional stuff about that. They're also looking for, they're going to be integrating the DC streaming service in with their upcoming 5G set-top boxes, which will get TV over cellular data instead of you needing a cable internet provider, all kinds of stuff. So this is going to have big implications for entertainment consumers. Bloomberg is reporting that this also indicates plans that are being rumored about an increase in HBO's budget. Because as we've seen from shows like Game of Thrones, they could really use some more money in their production.
I was going to say, they're doing really well with what they produce.
Yeah.
They're struggling.
Seriously, though, their annual budget is about $2.5 billion.
The struggle's real.
Well, Netflix is $8 billion this year.
Yeah, but Netflix is more than just their own content. I mean,
what not? HBO's got more than one show.
Oh, I thought you said that was Game of Thrones budget. Sorry.
No. This is HBO. Yeah. Okay. Wow. No, I mean, Game of Thrones is good, $2.5 billion. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, that's their overall, HBO's overall budget. But they want to look at, there are a lot of people who want to compete right now with Netflix. And so what's happening is they want HBO's on-demand catalog to grow. So they're looking at, what they can do to bring in more shows and such. So now we don't know, A, if this rumor is true, and B, that they're going to compete with $8 billion like Netflix has. But regardless, they're talking about an increase from the 2.5 that they currently have, which is going Netflix, to. So the end result is more shows that are exclusive to HBO coming down the pipe.
I would still say Netflix probably has a lot more shows than HBO, though.
Well, they come from different places, too.
I mean, a lot more new content.
They're not as big necessarily, but yeah, I get the RSS feed that I get notifications of like every new thing as it's launched on Netflix. And I mean, a lot of it's foreign stuff. A lot of it kind of goes under the radar, but I mean, they've got like just a crap load of exclusive stuff right now.
Yeah.
With more on the way.
They've got a lot of heavy hitters that have done really well.
I mean, you got to figure HBO has evolved nicely over the years, but you know, look where they started. They were a cable service that did, you know, movies, trying to get them before anybody else did to show on broadcast, or not broadcast, but you know, cable television. And they had a back catalog of stuff, but you couldn't watch it besides when it was on. Maybe you used to get that little HBO monthly guide, and you'd look for the movies, and it'd give you all the times it was going to play during the month. You watch them, and now it's
and then
a whole
you frantically try to figure out how to schedule the date and time settings on your VCR that nobody really understood how to do, and then you get one power outage in between now and then, and you get the blinking 12 o'clock, and it undoes all of your scheduling stuff anyway. Yeah,
right. So I mean, they've done a nice job transitioning from where they were to where they are now, and I think Netflix has just gotten there faster. I mean, they started as that, so they had a, I shouldn't say a head start, but they had a. They weren't encumbered
by
the past.
They had a different pathway of getting there.
Right. They weren't encumbered by the past of what they were building upon, you know? So, but I think they've done an equal job between these two companies of building, you know, fresh new content for themselves. You know, that, I mean, HBO films and the series that HBO has produced, maybe not as widespread as what Netflix has done, you know, but they
I tell you what. Every project that comes out of HBO has a better chance of being heralded as something that's worth going out of your way for, as opposed to Netflix. Not that Netflix doesn't have things like that, but they have launched such a quantity of things at Netflix that HBO still has a higher percentage overall of higher ratings.
And that's always been the way HBO has done things, too. I mean, even when you go back to their own shows before they were streaming stuff, just on HBO,
Sopranos,
they had some really good...
Sex in the City.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah.
So what's lightning around the rest of this stuff? Saw a story that Oprah has signed a deal with Apple. Speaking of streaming services and where things are going.
It seems like everybody has now.
Yeah. I mean, Apple's been rumored about this for a while, and this is a pretty big hitter to get on board with their stuff. I mean, I'm not a big Oprah fan myself, but, you know, she's a pretty powerful person in the industry.
I've never heard that from anyone. Who's not a big Oprah fan?
I just don't watch a lot of her content. I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff she produces. That's the
thing. It's not that we have a problem with Oprah. Exactly. Don't confuse. I don't have the OWN network programmed into my, like, my favorites on my remote. But
I mean, neither do I, but I'm still a big fan of Oprah.
For the same reasons I don't watch the Hallmark Channel. Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say big fan of stuff Oprah does as far as producing content.
Her productions.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's different. Yeah.
She's a phenomenal person.
She is a person.
Oh, yeah.
As a human.
Yeah.
When I say not a fan of Oprah, not a fan of stuff she's produced as far as stuff I'd want to watch.
Okay.
So, yeah. Thank you for
just
correcting me, Lizzie, because people were going, What is Lou thinking?
Give me a heart attack. I'm not really into Oprah. Like, what?
It's okay.
No one says that.
Back to your corners.
So, I mean, she is, the most powerful person in media, pretty much? One of? I mean, she's right up
she
there.
She always has been. Right. It fluctuates a little bit based on her activity level at any given point, but even when she's inactive, her level of influence is just... Yeah.
Arguably
beyond.
Off the charts.
Yeah.
Right. So this is a story from the Hollywood Reporter. It's a multi-year deal. It's non-exclusive, meaning that Oprah can still do her own thing. She's still going to be CEO of and chairman of the OWN network, which I think Discovery owns the majority of that now. And everything she creates for this new Apple deal will be her own content. She'll own it. So I was kind of surprised by that. I would have thought Apple would have wanted to have that themselves, but we'll see.
No, I think Apple's more concerned. I mean, they want ownership, but I think as long as they get exclusive distribution rights, they're happy.
Yeah. So that's one thing in my lightning round here. And I'm going to butcher this person's name, but Pinar Topark. If I pronounce that right, yeah. She's going to be the first woman to score a superhero film.
Yes, excited about that.
Okay.
This will be Miss Marvel, sorry. And this will be her chance to be stepping out in the spotlight. She's done other stuff. She's done Krypton on the Sci-Fi Network.
Miss Marvel, really?
Captain Marvel.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say?
You said Miss Marvel.
Here's why that's important. That's a good catch. Here's why it's important. We're getting a Captain Marvel movie.
Right.
And Miss Marvel is a different character that they are also planning to do either a movie or a television series on right now. They're in contract negotiations for it. So
yeah, it's a big difference.
There are two easily confused, but different projects.
Yeah.
That I was like, what? Did they greenlit Miss Marvel? I miss something?
Sorry.
What's happening?
I need to go back to the internet.
I'm just making up stuff as I go along here. Just go with me, you know?
Yeah, it's all good.
Sorry.
It broke the internet, Lou.
I know. Yeah.
I hear Jennifer Garner's going to be cast as Batman.
I'm in for that.
We'll just make stuff
up. It's in the Young Batman movie, right? Yeah. We're going to be getting a trailer for Aquaman at San Diego Comic-Con. So set your internet for July and keep in touch with that because it'll be fun. I'm sure we'll have all kinds of horrible stuff.
Well, we hope it'll be fun.
What's that?
I said, we hope it'll be fun. Hopefully it won't suck.
Well, it's a DC movie, so what do you want?
Listen, I have faith that DC's going
to
get better.
I
have absolute faith that the DC movies are going to get better. I'm serious. I'm not just like being sarcastic. I'm dead serious.
Okay.
That's good.
Well, they can't get any worse.
They really can't.
I shouldn't say that because they always could.
Wonder Woman was good.
Yes, yes. Wonder Woman was awesome.
Moving on.
Men Justice League okay, was Justice League. These... So
I was waiting for Lizzie to chime in with that. Yeah. I'm going to throw these last two back to Eric because I didn't read them.
Okay.
So,
all right.
What you got?
Fortnite
for us?
Is one of the most popular video games out right now, and partially because, from what I can tell, it's a really fun, cool game, and also because it's free. But there are additional items that you can buy in the game, mostly cosmetic items. And you have an account through this service with the developer and such, and it's cross-platform, so you can play against people who are on other devices and such. And my understanding of it is your purchases also transfer to these other devices. So if I play on my Mac and then I go over to my Xbox, all my stuff is there. And likewise now on my Nintendo Switch, all my stuff is there. Well, it was only just recently released, like last week, I think, for the Nintendo Switch, and a lot of people were logging in who were PlayStation players. And when they log into their account, the account's locked, and it says, "We're sorry, you played this on a PlayStation. You can't have your stuff here." And so people complain to Nintendo, saying, "Dude, what's up with your system?" And Nintendo's like, "Oh, no, it's not us. You need to go talk to Sony." And this is not the first case where Sony does not play well with other things. Microsoft has been very public about the fact that they're willing to go cross-platform on all of their stuff. And Sony's like, nope, not going to happen.
Right.
So if you play on the PlayStation, you're not going to be able to get your stuff unlocked on the Switch. However, if you are Xbox, PC, Mac, Android, iOS, Nintendo Switch, any of those other platforms, you're good to go. And when people complained to Sony about this, their response was basically, deal with it.
Wow.
So I won't read the quote because we're lightning rounding this, but they basically said there are 79 million PlayStation 4s sold around the world and 80 million active people on the PlayStation Network. We built a huge community we're very proud of. Thank you. Have a good night.
Way to keep your subscribers happy. Nice.
Yep. But again, they're a juggernaut. So, I mean, just like Microsoft and other companies. So it's not like people are going to trade in their PlayStations now. Telltale Games. I don't know if you guys have heard of them. They've made a lot of the story, interactive story games. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they're also on consoles too. They've got most commonly known probably for the Walking Dead series they've done with season 3 coming up pretty soon. They did one for Game of Thrones. They did one for The Wolf Among Us based on the Fables comic books, Batman, Guardians of the Galaxy. But their most popular title will be the first of their games ported to a new platform. Minecraft Story Mode will be coming to Netflix.
Netflix. Okay.
Yes. Now, for people who don't know, there are already some choose your own adventure style videos on Netflix.
Really?
Most notably, Puss in Boots from the Shrek series, voiced by Antonio Banderas. There's already at least one or two videos, if not more, of that character with kind of a choose your own adventure kind of navigation through it. So this is going to be something similar to that, where you play through Netflix with your controller to choose different branches in the game. Now, what we don't know yet is there's some walking around that you do with the joystick in the game. Not a whole lot, just a little bit. So we don't know exactly how that's going to be implemented. They'll probably cut some of that out and come up with a different mechanic for that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But yeah, so that's kind of a big deal.
Hmm. Well, interesting. I'm not sure how much gaming I'm going to do on Netflix, but you know, maybe I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Eric, I must thank you. This was a really good What Were They Thinking Weekly. I got a real good kick out of this one.
Yeah. I saw this one and I couldn't turn it down.
I love stupid criminal stories. They are just perfect. So, 49-year-old man in Florida. And mind you, I live in Connecticut now. I used to live in Florida. I'm 49, but I live in Connecticut now, so not me. 49-year-old man in Florida called the police because he felt like he was, you know, he bought some drugs and they weren't really legit drugs. And he wanted to press charges against, you know, whoever sold him the drugs because they weren't real. I mean, if you buy something, you want to get drugs, a real product, cheap, right? Yeah. You want to make sure you get
good drugs.
Exactly.
Right.
So the police told him, you know, come on down and we'll test them for you for free.
And he said, check your drugs for awesome. You.
That's awesome. Wow. A free service for testing my drugs, make sure they're legit. Awesome. Well,
it's so nice of them.
Isn't that? I'd love to know what police force this was, but I mean, it was awesome that they did this. And good news was the drugs were real and they arrested
him. Good. So the guy didn't get ripped off after all. I mean, that's going to be a relief.
He got what he paid for and he got what he deserved. Yeah. Good.
What a relief for that guy. Thank God for his real drugs.
He must be so happy that he actually got what he paid for.
Did he then get arrested for having drugs?
Did they let him take the drugs to jail with him, though?
I don't think they did, no.
Oh.
No.
That's, like, you know. Because then he got drugs in a police station.
I do love it when police forces can post on either, you know, Instagram or Twitter or Facebook and make fun of this stuff and have fun with the community. And they did in this case. They posted on Facebook. Remember, our detectives are always ready to assist anyone who believes they were misled in their illegal drug purchases.
Well, that's so wonderful. Fun.
It is. It's so a community service.
Community outreach doing free drug testing.
Yeah, if you think you bought baby powder instead of cocaine, call them up. You know, I mean, they'll be more than happy to test it. And
that's great.
Make sure you get what's coming to you.
Can you tell me if I've got real drugs? I was looking for real drugs, and I think these are fake drugs.
That's awesome. That is just so awesome. I just love stupid criminal stories.
Can you imagine, like, bringing fake drugs in? They test them. There's, we're sorry. Those aren't real drugs. Oh, shoot. All right. Well, let me go back and see if I can get the real ones. Are you open tomorrow?
Do you know of anyone? You got anyone in lockup that can recommend me to someone with the real drugs?
The last few people who were here, do they leave business cards or anything? Do you have any that, you know?
Yeah, I'm just looking for a website, maybe a drop location.
Exactly. Oh,
wow. Wild.
Well, I think that this brings us to the end of the episode. And Eric, I'm glad you could hang out with us right till the end. I know you got to go too. And jump on to another podcast. But in the meantime, if anybody has anything they want to talk to us about or just let us know and give us a clue on something, send us an email, randomchatter@randomchatter.com. Best way to get a hold of all of us.
You can also find us online at Twitter, at randomchatter for the network needs. Individually, you can find me at Nerd in the City. Eric, where can they find you, sir?
You can find me at Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. And I've also been pretty active on the Force Chatter Twitter, which is now taking care of all of our Star Wars shows as well.
Nice.
And Lou?
You can find me on Twitter at Lou Skywalker. That's Skywalker without the E. And you can find me on Instagram at my name, Lou Stecky, or Six Inch Hero.
And you can find me on Instagram at Nerd in the City and also the network at Random Chatter on Instagram, which is my favorite.
All right. You're going to have to show me how this Instagram stuff works.
I'll give you a tutorial.
I hear it involves a lot of pictures, and pictures. I don't like taking
pictures.
I'm the most non-photogenic person in the world.
Well, not pictures of you, just pictures.
Oh.
I mean, you can do pictures of you if you want to.
I have nothing to take pictures of. Well, we'll figure that out later. Anyway, in the meantime, while we're figuring this out, you should be going to Random Chatter and checking out the other podcasts that we have there. We have lots of other shows. Most of our listeners probably already aware of them. But, you know, if you spread the word to other people, you might want to mention that there's a large selection of shows there. And we would like you to do that. Please spread the word. Let your friends know about us. Share us out on social media. That's probably the best way to get the news out about us, actually. But we would also appreciate it if you would leave us reviews wherever you're getting the podcast. you know, click on the stars, that helps. But also, if you could type something up, just a brief paragraph, a couple of sentences about why people should check us out, that would do a lot toward helping to expand the community that we have here.
Awesome. And of course, we also like some financial support occasionally. We do have a Patreon page, randomchatter.com/Patreon. People can help us pay for the cost of the network, help us improve equipment, improve the shows, that kind of stuff. And we do like to give back to you when we do that. So we have different levels of participation at Patreon. Probably our most popular level is the $1 a month donation level. Gets you into our Discord community where you can interact with a lot of other fans and all the hosts. We have, Eric, how many public channels do we have now that aren't part of the Patreon paywall?
So if you would like to join and not donate anything, we are perfectly okay with that. I believe that we've got the main lobby announcements, and we added a channel for memes just because, which apparently is pretty popular. And then we've got one for each of the shows. I think we've got like 14 or 15 show plus, related.
Right.
Yeah. So, and they're very active. There's always a conversation going. And again, that's just for the free ones, mm-hmm. not to mention the fact that even if you just pay $1 a month to help support the network, which is a big help. I mean, that's where most of our donations right. come, is from the dollar mark. Then there's like another 50 or 60 channels on top of that that get unlocked.
Yeah, way more than one person can kind of do on a daily basis. But it's a lot of fun. Everything from talking about photography, talking about different shows we're watching, spoiler channels for upcoming movies and such. Just all kinds of good stuff to get involved with there. So if you want to find out how to get involved with that, go to randomchatter.com/Discord and randomchatter.com/Patreon.
And the music you hear is Perfect Heights by Blue Dolly.
And that's about it for this week, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll come back at you in about a week.